Yud Testament Beis.
Right.
Yud Testament Beis, we're about 3/4 down up to the words Tashma, Tavshin. Tashma Vissalamta, which is the last word on the line on Yud Testament Beis. So we've been discussing the past couple of weeks the Tashma Vissalamta. We've been learning the past couple of weeks the idea about when a person is allowed to forego certain mitzvos because of Kavod HaBrios. It's more over there. Because of Kavod HaBrios, you're allowed to push off specific mitzvos. We began by asking the question, well, the Gemara brought down the scenario on the very top of your test, Amud Beis, the situation of a person who is wearing kilayim, the vigdo, a person has shatnez in their garment, and the Gemara says that you have to be poished in a field of shuk to take it off, even in the marketplace. And we discussed probably is not sneeze issues in this situation, but nonetheless, we would ask this person who would normally wear a dignified garment to remove it. And the Gemara said that because, even though there's the question of Kavod HaBrios, nonetheless, we are not concerned about this person's kavod, because we have something else to be concerned over, Chil Hashem. And the very fact that a person violates something which is specifically in the Torah, such as wearing shatnez, that's a Chil Hashem which we do not allow. Therefore, he should take it off. So therefore, we see that we're not concerned about Kavod HaBrios, and the fact that we would rather you do a mitzvah, even if maybe you would cause a little bit of humiliation. And then we brought down a couple of different proofs or questions when sometimes we forego a mitzvah because of Kavod HaBrios. And we brought down cases of Tumah. We brought down a case also of Lo Sasur, which ended up, as we said, that the whole pasuk of Lo Sasur, even though it is Deraisa, that doesn't necessarily support that when it comes to all other Torah mitzvos, that you can just forget about doing the mitzvah because of Kavod HaBrios. And therefore, basically, up until this point of where we're about to begin, we've established that when it comes to a Derabanan, because of the principle of Heimamru Beheimamru, that they're the ones that instituted the prohibition, so they're able to remove it for Kavod HaBrios. But when it comes to a Deraisa, that we don't find. That we don't find. So the Gemara now asks the question, we don't. How about the case of Shavas Aviv? Tashma, come in here, V'salamta Mehem. So the Pasuk says that you can hide yourself from a lost object. What does it mean, V'salamta Mehem? So the Gemara says, Pa'amim, there are times, Sha'atim, V'salam Mehem, there are times you're allowed to hide yourself from it. Pa'amim, She'enatim, V'salam Mehem. Sometimes you may not do so. So, Ha'ketzad, when halachically do we allow you to ignore something which belongs to someone else, maybe you even know whose it belongs to, possibly you should hold on to it. If it has a simen, certainly the person did not give up hope. So, ha-ketzad. So the Gemara gives examples. Im hoya kohen v'hi b'veis ha-kvar. So let's say the, as Rashi says, this object, this lost object, the Aveda, is in the cemetery, and therefore we're not going to require you to become tamei in order to get hold of this lost object. That's case number one. Gemara gives three cases. Or, hoya zokin v'ein lafi kvodo. You're a zokin, which you're a chacham, you're a respectful individual, and there's something which if you would pick it up and they would see you walking around in the street with this thing, it's just not dignified. It's not becoming of such a talmud chacham for such a person to be carrying such an object. So therefore, we'll allow you, because of Kavod HaBrios, that you don't have to pick it up. And then finally, the third, which we're gonna—that's going to be the case that we're going to be focusing on. But first, let's finish up these situations. Oh, or another case, Shahoisa Malachta Maruba Mishal Chaveira, which means that the work or the lack of work, the bitl malacha, the fact that you're about to go and, let's say, carve stones, you work thousands of dollars an hour, is how much you're worth. And therefore, for you stopping to do work, to pick up this thing and to give this other person, in which that person would be obligated to compensate you for your losses, does not equal, it's so much more is the loss of your work than the object, then there's no purpose of you picking up, because that person would never have wanted you to return it, and then have to pay you more than it's worth. They'd rather you just forget about it. So therefore, the Gemara says, in these situations, Lekach Nemar B'Salamta, these are the times which a person is allowed to turn away and hide from it as though they don't see.
Well, what about in general, though, about a lost object? Does that have to be a value? Forget just the fact that your work is more, but this has to be a value that you have to stop and pick it up. I mean, is it Shabbat Pruta? Is it greater than Shabbat Pruta? Is there a dollar value that the Gemara is referring to that you have to do on Shabbat Sabeda, which is more important, you know, that a person has to waste their time doing it? What is the biffle is the shear, as they say?
Well, the shear is that you have to know that this that has a simon, has something of some sign that distinguishes it so that the person who owns it still has hope in getting it back. They're not miyayim. But something which is so worthless, so maybe at that point already, who's gonna want it?
Right.
Possibly.
This mitzvah is a doraisa mitzvah.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Shabbos Aveda is a doraisa.
Shabbos Aveda is such a mitzvah that you should take in Klal Yisrael when you're doing it.
Okay. So question: in the first example that they gave us, okay, tumah for kohen is a lo sase, right? That also doraisam.
Yeah, it. That's what we were saying. There's some tomo which is derabanan, but it's deraisa.
Okay.
They're not allowed to.
In the first situation, you're dealing with one scenario that doesn't follow through the other two. The first one is that you're going to be over another deraisa if you did the ase.
Okay.
You're over a lot of los ase if you do the ase. And the second one, you're over a low a ase, but right. It's mikavod abrios.
Right.
Okay. So the two examples do not
match
in any way.
Right. In this.
Right.
That's why it seems like the question which we're going to be asking is only on the second case.
Yeah, because we're
first.
Talking about kavod abrios, that's the whole inyan is about.
Right, but I'm saying, but also because it seems to me it's the first case.
They're not equivalent.
Right.
Yeah,
correct.
But I may think anyway, even so, because an essay is dochala. Generally, an essay is dochala. So the essay of Islamta
of Hashav's Veda is more important than becoming
could
tamay.
Be docha the lab of becoming become a tamay.
The Torah here is specifically telling you that it's not true. Islamta, you do not take it. You should not take it. But yeah, you're right. The first case and the second case are how are they equal? They're both similar in the fact that you don't have to pick up the lost object. That's where it begins and ends. But certainly the cases themselves, there are major differences. So it's true. So it's really the second case that we're focusing on here. And that's what the Gemara asks. The Gemara says that, why would we say that we allow you, because you're zokein, and it's not dignified, and it'll be kvodo, so that all of a sudden you don't have to pick up this lost object. What do you mean? It's a Torah obligation to bring this lost object to the rightful owner. So because it's not within your honor, so it's kavod abrios, why would we care about kavod abrios? Am I? Why would we? Leimot, shouldn't we apply the pasuk and say, in chachma, then tfun v'in etzel neged Hashem, which is the pasuk that we did bring down when it came to the shatnas. When it came to shatnas, we could care less about kavod abrios. No, kavod abrios, it's not important. Take off your garments, even if you're in the middle of the marketplace. And that's a mitzvah from the Torah. So over here is also a mitzvah in the Torah. So why, when it comes to Shabbos Aveda, do we say that kavod abrios is something which is more important, if you will, that we don't require to do this mitzvah from the Torah? And why would we? Why don't we apply that same rule when it comes to the shatnez?
Because the shatnez, you're over the lav. The person's wearing the shatnez, he's over the lav. He's doing the. He's making a. It has an avera for wearing shatnez. Here, it's a separate entity. Here, you have a Shabbos Aveda. As against the things, it's not one's a gufa type of thing. He's doing this. You know, that's why we may even take away his own kavod abrios is against the thing. Here it's somebody else's kavod abrios against the Shabbos Aveda. It's a separate entity. It's not the same thing.
Okay.
There's another one
here. Right here.
But they're both. You're one is on you and one
is on you. You are over a law of wearing shatnez midorais. It says
any minute.
In any minute, right? You're doing the Aveira, that's where you got to take it. It's your covet of Rias against you're doing an Aveira. You, yourself, and I. You know, the whole thing is in one interaction, the one. But here you're talking about two separate people, or two separate entities. You're bringing back an Aveda to somebody else, and therefore you should get Tumah, or you should, you know, you should give up if you're a Zaken, you know, a Chacham, and you say it's beneath you to pick up this thing. But you're not doing an Aveira.
I think you are. If you have the ability to do Hashanah's Aveda, and you're saying you're not doing it, then you're over.
One is a commission and one is an omission.
Exactly.
The difference between commission and omission.
Right.
What do you mean?
Omission means you fail to do it. What do you mean?
But here you're doing an Aveira by wearing Shatnez.
That's the Gemara is going to end up on Chaf Amun Aleph, bringing that as the final thought.
So you should do a mitzvah, and you should make a hefsid merubah for your friend.
Right.
It'll cost him a fortune, just because you want to do the mitzvah.
Right.
We don't want that. We don't want you to make a mitzvah on the cost.
Right. Okay. So this is the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers as follows. He says, "You're right. Generally speaking, we're going to follow the shatnez rule." And that is, when it comes to a Torah law, you're not allowed to break the Torah law. It doesn't make a difference. Never allowed to break the Torah law. Either there's Kavod HaBrios involved, we don't care about Kavod HaBrios. What do you mean? But we do break a law when it comes to Shabbos Aveda. You're right. But Shani Hasam Dichsiv Yisalavta Mehem. The Torah specifically says you're allowed to break this law. Or, if you will, the whole concept of Shabbos Aveda is only applied under certain circumstances. Under other circumstances, the law doesn't even apply. In other words, as you said, the third case, the whole idea of Shabbos Aveda is that you want to be sensitive to the needs of your friends, so you want to return the object. But if you're returning the object, it's going to cost that person a monetary loss, then the whole law of Shabbos Aveda doesn't apply. But so therefore, what is the Gemara answering? The Gemara is saying that there's a pasuk that says that kavod habrios, if you will, is docha this mitzvah. That you're allowed to, if you're a zaken, not have to pick up this object. That you don't have an obligation to. The Torah tells us these parameters. However, in a case where it does not, because it says v'salamta, you are allowed to hide yourself from it. That's what it says. However, when it comes to any other mitzvah from the Torah, such as shatnez, where the Torah doesn't say you can keep it on, it doesn't say that. It says don't wear shatnez. So, you know,
you don't have a choice.
Right, so you have to take it off. So the only time you're allowed to break, so to speak, the words of the Torah is if the Torah itself tells you how to break it. Such as this situation, because the Torah specifically says, okay, so at least we have something going for us. We have a mitzvah from the Torah, at least one situation, one specific mitzvah, where you're allowed to break that mitzvah in order to preserve kavod habrios. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then maybe the ligmar minet, why don't we learn out from it, as Rashi says, v'nigmar minet. Ligabi kilayim, the amran pashta nafil b'shuk, that which we said, that you have to remove the shot is right in the middle of the marketplace, maybe not. Why don't we derive, as the primary proof and source of Hashavas Aveda, that just like Hashavas Aveda, which is a mitzvah from the Torah, you're allowed to overlook or ignore because of Kavod HaBrios, so why don't we apply that to all other mitzvahs from the Torah? Meaning that when it comes to Kavod HaBrios, you don't have to do the mitzvah, just like by Hashavas Aveda. Why don't we learn out from there? V'lig Mormina. So Gemara answers, Isura mimimona loyalfinan, which we find numerous times in Shas, that they're not the same. One is Isser beheter, certain things which are permissible, some are not permissible, such as wearing shatnez. Am I allowed to wear this garment? Am I not allowed to wear this garment? That's Isser beheter. Mamon, monetary issues. So over here, by Ben Salam to Meham, it's not a case of Isser beheter, it's a case of monetary loss. Right, so therefore, right. So when it comes to mamona, when it comes to money, as some of the portions say, where a person can be mochel anyway, their money, and if there's losses and damages, so maybe we're more lenient. And therefore, the only reason why we say when it comes to this Torah law is maybe because it's a monetary issue. However, any other Torah law, which is Isura, such as wearing shatnez, then maybe you're not allowed to break that law, even though there's kavod of
Brios.
Right, exactly. So, Isura Mamona Leofino.
The concept of kavod of Brios, there are different categories, isn't there? Or is it all one general term? And when you say that a melech can't be mochel his kavod.
Right.
And the zaken can't be mochel his kavod.
Right.
And a regular person, you cannot.
Right.
Let's just hypothetically, let's say the king was walking in the shuk and he was wearing shatnez. Mm. Does this same thing hold true to him?
Because the question is, he has an obligation. He has a mitzvah saseh that people, he has to show fear. People have to fear him. At this point in the Gemara, it's a good question because you have two conflicting mitzvahs. One.
Can you make the same kavod mochel?
It's not even that, but it's also
becomes,
based on a pasuk.
He becomes more of a respected person by doing it in the shuk, than not.
To adhere to the mitzvahs?
To show everybody that even I will go through.
That's a Gemara. The Gemara you mentioned, that's a Gemara in Tes Vofin Ksubas. By chance, I remember it.
By a king, right.
Even if he wants to. Toysus asked the question.
It's not allowed
to. Remember that, Toysus? Yeah. So
he let
the color go in front of him. So Toysus asked the question there in Exubus, how could he do that?
Correct.
So he said, Parshas Drochem Haver. In other words, there was a split in the road.
Yeah.
So he on purpose took the other one, but it was not obvious that he was Mochel al Kvoida. So obviously, Melech Shemoch al Kvoida ain't Kvoida Mochel.
Which is what he's saying. He's not allowed to be Mochel in his Kavod. So the question is, if this king is wearing shatnez, if he takes off his garment, on one hand, if he takes off the garments, it's not just kavod brios.
But you can't compare it.
It's a kiddush
Hashem. You're comparing it to a kala as opposed to a losa, say, of shabbos.
It's a kiddush Hashem.
For him to keep it off, to take it off.
Of course.
But don't what Taisha said in Ksubas, I'm sorry. Taisha said, Pershas Ruchem HaBel HaTchili was not permitted to do it.
So the question is, you're going back, is what does it mean kavod brios?
Which is more important. A cow is a cow.
Somebody else.
In spite of the fact that it's a cow,
the Torah
says he was not supposed to.
Yeah, but a cow is not a losas. Here he's over a losas.
It's not his own body.
It's not the same thing.
It would be the same thing. So what you're talking about as far as a king is concerned, if you would take it off, and that would show respect. For that same logic, the beginning of the Gemara over here is saying.
Let him speak.
It's okay. The Gemara is saying over here, the very beginning, is that any person that takes off their garment, it's on the other hand, it says there's a lack of kavod brios. You can maybe say the same thing. If any Jew takes their garment off, why is that a lack of kavod brios? They should
be kiddush Hashem.
Right. Well, the answer, I guess, is it is a kiddush Hashem, but nonetheless, that could still not necessarily be the same thing as a lack of kavod brios.
Does the average person in the street know why he's taking his coat off?
So let him go around the corner where nobody sees it. And a working
I
don't think so.
And the question
I don't think
the
it's
shatnez,
really.
I think would come up last for saying.
Not at this point, for sure.
That he's taking it off because he wants to be shown with a mitzvah. How come he put it on in the first place?
He didn't know.
He didn't know until he saw it in the marketplace.
It must be he didn't know.
That this is shatnez.
Why
did he take the laboratory before he bought it?
Somebody made it to gave him as a gift for the Ethiopia, and he put it on. That's
You can't buy a suit. You can't apply this today.
Right.
Today you can't apply.
We're not talking today. We're talking about then. 1200 B.C.
The Emmy wasn't existing.
All right. So, at least we found one situation, Diraisa, where it's pushed off for Kavod HaBrios. Tashma. V'lachoso, so the pasuk says v'lachoso. Okay, if we look in Rashi over here, this lengthy Rashi, it'll help us with this next piece of Gemara. when I learned this, when my Rebbe taught this to me the first time in 1988, he said, you should learn this Rashi before you do the Gemara, so I have to do so. So, if we look in the Rashi, Rashi says, L'achoso mat tamad lomar. So Rashi says like this, Benozer Ksim, it's referring to the Nozer, the Pasuk says, Koi me hazir l'Hashem al nefesh me selul yavam. So it says, clearly, that one of the things that a Nozer cannot do is he now become Tommy Mace.
Right.
It says clearly, the Pasuk says, al nefesh me selul yavam. The Samach lay, and then it's also written right next to it, it's now to become tummy to these relatives.
Even these.
At least he brings down. At least these four are brought down. Okay. So the question the Rashi asks is the hakula b'chlal al nefesh meis lo yavo. The pasuk says already that he's not allowed to become tummy meis. So if it would just stop there, okay, maybe you could think for some reason that we make an exception by the
Shevach Rovim, as possible. Opposed to just a stomp, like a mace mitzvah or something like that.
It's possible. On the other hand, if the Torah doesn't specify that times that it is allowed, then why would you think that once the Pasuk already says he cannot become Tommy Mace, that we would make any exceptions? And therefore, because of this, the question is, so why does it then mention these specific situations? It's not coming to talk about the father or the mother or the brother and sister, because that you could already infer from the pasuk clearly of al nefesh meis lo yavo. So v'lama yatsu l'aviv. So why does the Torah specify and go out of its way by speaking about the father? Prat l'meis mitzvah. It's coming to tell you that you, the nazir, are not allowed to become tummy for your father. But if you come across a meis mitzvah and no one else is around or whatever, so at that point, you are
obligated, not permitted,
to do this, to take care of the needs of the meis mitzvah. And then the pasuk also says la'ima. So the question is, why does it say the word ima? Matam lomar. So it's not just, it can't be coming to teach us meis mitzvah. Mishum meis mitzvah itzruch. We don't need a pasuk to tell us to allow a meis mitzvah or to obligate you for a meis mitzvah, because after all, dimil aviv nafka. We already learned and derived that out from the word before that, aviv. So why does it then say the mother? So it must be coming to tell us an additional chiddush above meis mitzvah. But darshli b'sifri, lamed she'im hoya nozer ze kohen dehavi lehashtei kedushos av hu le'imahu delo yitama. Of Matamahula Meis Mitzvah, first white line Rashi. So, it's not just talking about that you're a Nozer and you find a Meis Mitzvah. What if you're a Nozer and you're a Kohen? Right? So we're making it, you would think, maybe even in that situation, a Meis Mitzvah, maybe not. That's why the Pasuk says, Emo, to tell you, even in that situation, this person is to take care of the needs of the Meis Mitzvah, even though you're a Nozer and a Kohen. Okay. Now the question is the third extra word of la'achiv. So Rashi says ma talmud loymer. So what is that coming to tell us? Obviously, it's not talking about a case of just a nazir. It's not just talking about a case of a nazir as a kohen. So therefore, it must be coming even beyond that. In the situation of harishahay a kohen gadol, who nazir. So not just a stam kohen hedget. This guy is the top guy, the kohen gadol and the nazir. Afu achiv who lo yitam. Again, that we're allowing, even if you're the Kohen Gadol, if you come across a Meis Mitzvah, that you're to take care of the needs of the Meis Mitzvah. So therefore, now this is going to be the next word, the first words of the Gemara, L'achoso matam lomar. Who could you possibly think of beyond the Kohen Gadol? What's the next step beyond that? So, no one. So therefore, why do we have this extra word? We can't just say, oh, it's just extra, because that's not a correct, that's not a valid answer. So instead, another way of learning is as follows, of applying the concept of im eno inyan. Im eno inyan lezeh, to new inyan, l'mishahoyach lishchot, as pisklamoy, as benoy, shimetamu l'meis mitzvah. That if we cannot apply this extra word for the context of where it's in, then we can apply it for something else. Because obviously the word's not just extra, you need to learn something from it. So if there's nothing else to learn from it for this, then we can borrow this word to teach us something else. And what is the case? So the case is Rashi said, let's go into the Gemara, we're just going to say it. Tashma. Lachoso, so why does it say the word lachoso, which is the fourth of the words? Matam olomer, hari shahaya hoylech lishchot es pisach. A person is going to shech from Pesach. So it's Erev Pesach. Lima espino, prismila. B'shama shimeis lames. And he finds out, hears out, that someone died. One of his relatives died. Alright? So he has a question. On one hand, he should maybe have to go and take care of this situation, to go to one of his relatives. Again, this is not talking about a Kohen, this is not talking about a Nazir. This is talking about a person who is going to perform a mitzvah, and he finds out that one of his relatives passed away. So, the question is, what should he do? Yochel Yasar V'yitama, would you say that he should go and become Tamei? Amr, the Pasuk says, V'yitama, that he should not become Tamei, because after all, he's about to perform a mitzvah. Hey, he's engaged in performing a mitzvah, so he should not do so. Yochel Kashim She'enu Matama Lehem, Kachenu Matama L'meis Mitzvah. What happens if this individual comes across a meis mitzvah? So maybe also in that situation, it's not a relative, but he comes across a meis mitzvah, maybe that also applies. Talmud Lomer Lachoso Hud Einu Matama, Avul Matame on Amud Aleph L'meis Mitzvah. So this individual who's about to bring the Karban Pesach, is about to do Bris Milah, and then he comes across a meis mitzvah, what should he do? So the fact that the Pasuk says lachoso, which again, really, it's talking about a nazir, but we're not talking about a nazir, it's just an extra word, is coming to tell us that we will tell that person to take care of the meis mitzvah. Why would he take care of the meis mitzvah?
This doesn't follow through.
Go ahead. What do you mean?
The mitzvah of Mila can be deferred.
Right.
It's preferable to do it on the eighth day, but it can be done any time after that.
Okay.
So he can get Tara in a week and then do the meal afterwards. Kurban Pesach, he's got Pesach Sheni.
Pesach Sheni, right.
So therefore, this example does not correlate to the previous example.
Previous example of?
The other ones where you can't be dochet.
Okay. But these two particular mitzvahs essay are different than all the others in the Torah.
But you've got the ability to be able to still do the mitzvah after the fact.
So you can do
the main mitzvah first, which is a priority.
The mitzvah of Mila, not on the eighth day, is not the same, same strength mitzvah as the eighth day. And Pesach Sheni, I don't think Pesach Sheni is as strong as Pesach Rishon.
If you can do all three rather than do one or the other, it's going to be more important.
If they were picking different bits, I can understand it, but they're picking the two specific ones.
You only got Chedesh Nishra at this Pesach. There are other people involved. It's just not shechting for himself. Can you imagine? He's making himself
someone else shechts and says he doesn't partake in it.
That's all.
No. You don't know.
Obviously, he's the only one that can shech.
They don't know he saw a mason that he's not going to shech.
Right.
So all of a sudden, 50 people are coming for the progressive,
exactly.
And they're not going to have it.
So there's a tremendous chiddush in this, of course.
Tremendous, because these are both mitzvahs, both in the carbs.
But I hear what you're saying, but even according to what you're saying, the Torah requires, according to what the Gemara just says, a pasuk to actually allow you to forego those mitzvos in order to take care of the main mitzvah. In other words, if there was no pasuk, you would not necessarily be allowed to take care of the main mitzvah. It's only because the pasuk says lachoso, which allows you in this situation.
Allows you or forces you?
So let's see the top Rashi. So why is he to be metame for a meis mitzvah? Who covered habrios pedoch devar Torah? So we find over here that taking care of
is dochet Torah, which we just learned is the opposite.
So that's the question. So we find for covered habrios reasons we can push off serious Torah obligations, such as Karban Pesach.
But this question is a relevant question. And the fact that he was told me if you can do Pesach Sheni, that's a relevant question.
And he can do the meal after also.
Now he definitely has to be doicha.
He has to be doicha, absent, because once the Meis Mitzvah is no longer there,
right?
Then you're mevatel the whole concept. I would think that was probably transcendent over any other pattern.
That's all right.
You know, it's everything that throw everything into the it's like a whole room full of kavod avrias. This kavod avrias is different than any other kavod avrias.
Right.
This is not kavod avrias. This is the oraisa at Meis Mitzvah.
He's telling me you just learn the Rashi. You can't stick it out of the Rashi.
Rashi said what?
Rashi calls it kavod avrias.
Right.
But it's not really, but isn't Meis Mitzvah a raisa?
I mean, this kavod avrias is
like... It's the ultimate.
...than any other kavod avrias.
That's the ultimate.
This is the ultimate.
Yes.
Because you leave, and also, it's not just, it's a nice thing to do, kavod avrias, but if you don't do it, so you're being mavazet.
Exactly.
The greatest level of the zion.
And it has to do
with you're taking off the garment.
Also. Don't forget, this is something the guy can't pay you back.
Right.
It's the highest mitzvah in the world.
But
the word kavod avrias is used so loosely here.
Right.
I mean, there's a big difference between the guy taking the market off.
And
coming from West End to East End.
Which is probably what Rashi's suggesting. He needs to draw that out as part of the question because it's not really exactly the same. So therefore, Rashi has to really drive it home and say this is also. This is also covered.
Yeah, but you know, it's like the Empire State Building and a little hut. Come on,
let's covered a Brias is still covered a Brias. There's different
the mitzvah of
categories of a maybe.
The mitzvah is Meis Mitzvah.
Yeah.
It behooves you to do the burial, right?
Right.
Are you required to get a minion to do the burial? Or is
if you had a minion,
there's nobody else around. That's the whole thing. You're by yourself.
If you had a minion, so you commit Meis Mitzvah. Right. So somebody else can do it. We're talking about there's nobody here. You're the only guy. The only guy in the world. This is it now.
You're the only person.
Yeah.
That's typical. I just want to read one line, even though this is... It says, Kalu... It's a whole lengthy piece, but I'll just read one sentence. It says, Kalhu mipnei sheyachol lasos pesach sheni, v'agorim levatel pesach rishon. Lefikach, dachuhu kavod meis mitzvah, avol lav dekilayim. So he distinguishes this idea, as you just said, that it's brought down, this distinction, that it's not necessarily such a clear-cut proof that we can derive from here. But the Gemara doesn't use that as an answer. The Gemara's going to end up giving a different answer, which is the one you mentioned. But let's just see this. I just want to talk about one other thing, which is really a piece that we went through quickly. So the Gemara asked the question: Lema in chochmei mitzvunim in etzel neged Hashem. You can ask the same question, right? So how could kavod abrios, Meis Mitzvah seems to be a much greater level, but it's still kavod abrios. So why is kavod abrios Docha a dvar Torah mitzvah midiraisa? So why do we push it off? So the more answer is shani hosam. Same answer as when it came to Shabbos Veda. Shani hosam d'ksiv lachosa. The Torah specifically allows you to. That's the answer. Or the Torah specifically requires you to in this situation focus on your covet on the covet of rios aspect, namely the Meis Mitzvah. And not the Karban Pesach, and not the Bris Milah. The Torah says Lachoso, which, as we derive based on this piece, this Gemara, that we're telling you focus on the Kavod HaBrios. However, when the Torah does not mention that you should focus on the Kavod HaBrios, don't. Instead, you have to do the mitzvah. So, as we asked before, the Lig Mermina. So, why don't we learn out from here? So, why doesn't the Gemara answer the same answer? Isur Mimona Lo Yalfinan. Because over here, we're not talking about, it's not mamum. This is a case of Isura, right? So why would we not be able to compare the two? So our answer is Sheval Tase Shani. So there's a difference between a Sheval Tase and a Kumvase. What exactly does that mean? So Let's see Rashi. Rashi says like this in the second line. Devarim rabim hatiru. It's a very nice Rashi, which if you think about it, really opens up a lot of other discussion, which we won't really get so much into today. But Devarim rabim hatiru l'akra devar Torah. And they see many times that the Chachamim allowed certain things and pushed off or uprooted something from the Torah. Maybe a siyog, fat, and the kavod of brios, hecha de enu oker davar b'masiyah dayim. The situation where it was not actually uprooted with the hands. Ela yoshivim komer, just sitting. But the baratar in the ekram elav, and it just happens to go away by itself. What is an example? You go into kiyas shofar v'lul b'shabbos, right? So technically, why don't we blow shofar? Leaves out which case?
Leaves out Megillah. Mm. Three things.
Right, it's interesting, right? So, okay, fine. So, for example, Tekiah Shofar. So really, why don't you blow the shofar in Shabbos? So, for whatever reasons.
Okay.
Okay. So, these are the reasons that the Chachamim... What? Right, so Shevat Tasa. So it's not that you're actually doing an action, you're just sitting and not doing, and this is it. The Dochtayu Tuva B'Yavomos is brought down in great numeration of their Evel. This has to do with carrying in a carmelis, and a person has tzitzis which break or they're puzzle. So the question is,
the garment is not shy.
It's not a beggar.
Right, so he really is not allowed to wear anymore. It's a okay. But you know, nonetheless,
the two examples we just gave before don't apply here. The whole issue of Mila and Karim Pesach is Shabbat Pesach. It's because you didn't do those two things.
Right. Well, that's exactly what we're saying. Because there's Shabbat Tasa, we will allow Kovat HaBrios to kick in. Right? So you're just not going to end up doing the Bris Mila. You're not just going to end up doing the Karim Pesach. Just like you're not going to blow shofar, but you're not doing anything. You're tamei, so you just don't do it. So
that's just if you don't blow shofar on a shilin, you're not chayav karis.
Right.
But if you don't blow,
You're chayav karis only if you don't do the mitzvah. If it's delayed, you're not chayav karis.
Right now, you're chayav karis. For 30 days, you're chayav karis. What happens?
You're not.
Yes, you are. The ownership of Karis is immediate until you do that Pesach Sheni. And if for some reason you don't bring that Pesach Sheni, you have Karis.
It's hanging, it's suspended.
Wait.
There's a Chiyuv of Karis on you for those 30 days.
Who is
Pesach Sheni?
Who is a Chiyuv of the Miller?
Father.
And then the son.
The son only later on, years later.
No, they don't have it. It's the father, the mother, the Bezdin. And everybody else.
Exactly. Give me a good example why the guy's 13 years in a deal.
What he's referring to the machlokes of the Rambam and the Ravid. That after the bar mitzvah, don't make a mess. When is chayv koros? When is chayv koros every day?
He's 20 years old.
Or when is chayv koros to be
an hour
before he dies and can't do the mitzvah anymore? But up to that stage, nobody's chayv koros. It's only somebody becomes bar mitzvah. And doesn't do the bris, then there's Indian, of course.
I can't comprehend that if there was that you do another mitzvah,
he still needs
that happened that negated you to be able to do the other mitzvah, which you do later on.
Somebody had the bris in Russia, the guy was 35 years old. When he comes from Tashkent, there was no moil. That's not his fault.
Shimon.
Yes.
Well, there still is a major difference between the Mila and the Karim Pesach.
Because
the Mila, the child certainly is.
Yes.
You can't. It's not the child's fault that 8 days it didn't happen.
Yeah, Pesach.
No. Excuse me. You can be everywhere all have a Bris Mila, but you don't get credit for your Bris Mila until you perform the Bris Mila. When you had your Bris Mila, you were 8 days old. You're not going to do it.
Look what the Bach says here.
Did you see
the Bach? Yeah, Bach
saying.
Yeah,
you
see
that
the
Koros,
but not today. Let's finish up this Rashi. Okay. But we see that even when it comes to Koros, nonetheless, Kavod HaBrios is Is it okay? Lo. When it comes to actually uprooting it with your hands, that we won't allow. What is an example of Akbi Adayim? The case we saw in the beginning. Lovish Kelayim, someone who is walking around and actively wearing something which is against the Torah. Okra b'masa mamish. He is being okar a mitzvah with an action that he was wearing it and that he continues to wear it. Shulav shul, the fact that he's wearing this garment, betumas gufa, shahutra l'kohen v'nazir l'tam l'meis mitzvah, v'kama akbidayim itnei kovat habrios, t'lavish sheval tasahu. So he said that when it comes to this whole case over here, this is also a case of sheval tasa, because after all, as he discusses, is the person is Tamei, and the reality is you're not going to do the Karban Pesach, so you're Sheva Tasa. So that's basically how the Gemara concludes. Now I just want to end off with one last thought. I know it's a little late. I just want to end off with one last thought. The question, if we go back to the end, to the last proof of the question of Lachoso, it brought down a situation. The person was about to do the Shechita, and the person was about to do Bris Mila. And it says, Vishama Shemes Lomes. He found out that one of his relatives died.
Right, right.
So the Gemara says that what is he allowed to do? Yochel Yasev Yitam Amr Lo Yitam. You think that he can go and become Tameh. So the Torah says Lo Yitam, he's not allowed to do so. So the question is this. If in fact this person knew, this is all in the Mefarshim asks this question. If in fact this person found out Shemes Lomes, so what category in halacha does this person fall under?
He's an onin.
Don't we generally say that an onin is
patur mitzvahs?
Onin is patur mitzvahs anyway. So what exactly is this gemara talking about? The second case is the case where we were derived a proof from about you found a meis mitzvah. The first case that we brought down is v'shama shemeis l'meis. So the question is, oh, should he do the shechita? What do you mean, should he do it? He's an onin is patur from mitzvahs. So this is a question that was presented by the Yeshuas Yaakov. And he says a very interesting idea. He says, first of all, when it comes to an onin, it doesn't mean he's plucked from all mitzvahs. Certainly we know that when it comes to mitzvahs lo saseh,
right,
it doesn't mean, you know, he can start killing people, you know, he's still... But he says even more than that. He asks a question about Sfiras Omer. He says, very interesting. Now, an onin, obviously, he shouldn't have to say Sfiras Omer. It's a mitzvah. It's a positive mitzvah. But he says like this: Onen mutter lechatchila lispor Sfiras Omer bli bracha. He should count the Omer without a bracha. Kedeshul yasid shar hayom. So he shouldn't have lost out on other days. And he says like this: that's the halacha. So what do we find? He holds that when it comes to an onen, even though he's putter, he's only from putter from mitzvos, which will not cause him to lose out on opportunities of performing a mitzvah later on. Therefore, he says, I'm going to get asked the Pesach Sheni question, but just hear it out. He says that when it comes to Karban Pesach, even though this person finds out he's an onen, nonetheless, the thought process of the Gemara is that he could still bring the Karban Pesach. And he should bring the Karban Pesach. Because, for example, if instead he would take care of his relative's remains, let's say it was on Erev Pesach right before, he wouldn't be able to do the Shechita. And then when it comes to Pesach, no Karban Pesach. And therefore, it's derived from here that when it comes to a mitzvah in which they'll lose out after they're an onen, you should still perform that mitzvah. And that's how it's derived from over here. I guess you can ask the question of Pesach Sheni, which they do. But nonetheless, certainly the ideal way of performing the mitzvah, he would have lost that opportunity, and therefore, for that reason, even an onen has a certain obligation, as we saw, such as counting the onen.
Capable.